ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ. It has been said that God changes the world with a look, with drishti. It's a very subtle way to address a very big problem. And that's really what today's session is going to explore, is this beautiful, subtle approach Baba has to putting the soul right. And just so we can be fully engaged, we're actually going to start with some spiritually inspired movement. So, without further ado, I'm going to invite you to stand. And everyone's okay with English? Okay. So, find a spot on the floor.
And make sure you have space so you won't kiss anyone. Because we are not violent. So lots of space, and I promise I won't do anything horrible to you if you stand close to me. And if you need to sit down at any moment, you're welcome to do so. If something we are doing doesn't feel right, it feels painful, then the sensible thing to do is stop, right? Do not continue. So, and if you feel silly doing any of this, that means you are body conscious. So, everyone has full space, because there's a lot. So I think we have some happiness here. And we're just going to see if we can get things moving a bit, because we sit a lot. So I am going to try to do a stretch here. It doesn't matter right now. I'm going to ask you to take a moment.
Okay, we're going to start again. So one wing, and that experience of I, the soul, am directing the body to move. What quality would you like to use through the body? Is it gentleness? Is it easiness? And then the other wing, again, I am directing the body to move. Sometimes souls say, I can't dance. How many have that feeling, I can't dance? Every soul can dance. Very beautiful. Very different, maybe? So using both wings. Beautiful. Not hitting anyone. And one more time. Inhale. And as you exhale, you're going to bring both hands on top of the heart. Interlock the fingers. And on top of the heart. Nice. And you're going to take a deep breath. Inhale. Opening the heart. As you exhale, bend the knees slightly and expand. Curving through the spine. Inhale all the way up. Both arms together. All the way up. Inhale and exhale. Share everything with the world. Both arms lower. Nice. Again, inhale into the heart. Exhale. Introvert. Inhale all the way up, claiming all treasures. And exhale, share it with the world. Again, inhale, open the heart. Exhale, introvert. Inhale, claiming all treasures. And exhale, share it with the world. Two more times. Inhale, open the heart. Exhale, introvert. Inhale, up we go to claim all treasures. Exhale, share them with the world. And one more time. Inhale, open the heart. Exhale, introvert, go inside. Inhale, claim all treasures from the one. And exhale. Nice. And just some shoulder circles. Again, opening up through the heart. Both arms. Sorry, I can't really show, but you are doing both arms. Thank
you. All right, so can you hear? Yeah. So opening up through the heart. Feel deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. Again, eye the soul. And moving the body with a lot of care and attention. Going inside and directing the body to move. Beautifully done. Two more times. Nice. And I'm going to ask you to open your legs about hips apart. Reach up to the sky, up to the one, taking in all treasures and then folding the hands in front and bringing those treasures deep inside. Open up again, and again, don't worry if that doesn't happen. All you need to do is bring the hands down in front. Bring them all, or if you want to, behind, up to you. Again, open up, receive all treasures, and bring them all inside of the self. Again, open up, receive all treasures, and bring them inside. Beautiful. Open up, receive, open heart, beautiful, and take them inside. One more time, open to receive, and take them inside. Nicely done. Going open, we're going to spin the discus of self-realization. Are you ready? Turning in that direction, you're going to spin the discus of self-realization. So big circle to the shoulder. Very interesting spinning going on. All is good. All is good. Nice. And let's spin the other way. Nice. Big circle. And in the center, of course, we have to spin the other arm. Spinning that discus. There is no wrong way of doing this. As long as you don't hit anyone. Take it the other way. Very nice. There's so much beautiful variety in the Brahmi family. And in the center. Big. I'm going to turn my back to you so this is not confusing. We're all going to be Arjuna. So big stance. And you're welcome to face this way. We'll all face Baba. So big stance. My left toes go towards the window. Right toes facing to Baba. Nice. And we are Arjuna. Very, very determined, but not violent. I'm going to reach up this arm. I'm going to reach back to get an arrow. Excellent. And I'm going to take the arrow and put it in the bow. And I'm going to pull it back. Very much seeing my aim. And release it. There it goes. Very nice. I can reach up, grab an arrow, aim at your target to become perfect and complete, pull the arrow back, and release it. Oh, one more time. Take it up, grab that arrow, and again, you need to have a target. Put the arrow into the bow. You have a target, a destination. Pull it back. All the way back. And release it. Very nice. I feel everyone seeing their target. Other way. Right toe facing the window. Other toe facing the other. Reach it all the way up. Reach back for an arrow. And arrow goes into the bow. You have a target, a destination to become Karmateet. Pull it back. Your eye on the target and release your hand. Nice. Again, up. Reach tall. Go all the way back for an arrow. Put it into the bow. Pull it all the way back because you want to reach your destination. And release it. You're very good at this. One more time. All the way up. Go back. Grab an arrow. Put it into the bow. Pull it all the way back, eye on your destination, to fulfill the Father's hope. Release it. Excellent. I get sound effects, too. I like it. And back in the center. We're going to play like children. This is called children play. So one knee comes up, down. Other knee comes up, down. So Baba says, you're sweet children. He loves to see us play. So we're going to play. We're going to add on to this. It's very exciting. Here we go. It's up, out, in, down. Up, out, in. Look at you. Quick studies. Brahmins are very quick studies. Up, out, in, down. Two more times. One time each leg. Walk. Going in a circle, let's all go this way. I can't move far because I've got this thing attached to me. But you keep going. And up. And up. You might start to skip. Aha! Look at you! That's okay. You're unique. You can go that way. You have to keep moving. There's a Brahmin right behind you. Beautiful. Four, three, two, and you're going to freeze wherever you are, facing the center of the circle, folding the hands, bringing all your attention into the awareness of I, the soul. I, the soul, seated behind the eyes, on the throne of the forehead. A very royal feeling of the self. And in that awareness, I'm seated behind the eyes. I invite you to carry the body back to a seat on the sofa, but maintaining that awareness of being seated on the throne of the forehead. I, the soul, seated on the throne How was that? I thought you were brilliant. Today's session looks at internal alignment, specifically the alignment of the intellect. And Baba actually talks a lot about posture or alignment of the soul. Even if we look at his picture of Lakshmi and Narayan, pure soul in a pure body, the posture of the soul is perfect. Their intellect is divine. They're upright. But even physically, their posture is perfect, right? And when I first started coming to Madhuban, a lot of the sessions were by the Rajyogi brothers, senior brothers, Ramnath, Atam, Surya, and they're all about yoga of the intellect. And I remember even the experience before they even spoke, as they conducted meditation, and even physically their posture was very unique. And I felt inside the soul was in a certain posture, that it created even how the body sat. It was not just I'm having a peaceful experience. There was such power, such accuracy. The region that I am based in is the Americas. And the instrument, is anyone else from the Americas? Okay, so you might be familiar with this. Our instrument is Sister Mohini of New York. And I've noticed especially in the last few years, if she's conducting class and she's about to move from lecture to experience, that she won't sometimes start until everyone is sitting properly. She'll say, "You're not all sitting properly." You know, even our heads, if they're a little, she'll go, "No, your head. It's still," you know, and she'll keep correcting. And it's not that she physically wants us, it's just a physical exercise. It's suggesting that I, the soul, am not sitting properly. So in a way I'll be disappointed, because it requires a certain posture to have a certain experience internally. So Baba will talk about posture. He'll say, "I even uplift the hunchback." Right? He said that in the movie, "I uplift the hunchback." What's the posture of a hunchback like? It's kind of like this. So I'm going to ask everyone to assume the posture of a hunchback. Oh, you're very good at this. I know you're doing it theoretically, because Love has uplifted you. Very good. So from this posture, I would like you to try and lift your arms. It's challenging, yeah. It's difficult. It's painful. Baba says, "You know, you're my arms, as in we help them to serve. But this is so difficult." Or trying to get drishti from this posture. It's quite a battle. So he says, "I am going to uplift the hunchback. I'm going to correct your posture." So we're going to take a creative look at how he does that. What advice, what guidance he's given to correct our posture. Sometimes in the courses we talk about the movement or the journey of the soul is inwards, upwards, downwards, and outwards. So we describe the process. And that's a postural type of journey. But we're going to add on to that today. And use the symbolism of the spine. Because when we say to people, you know, fix your posture. If I was to say to you right now, fix your posture, what would you do? I'm sure you were sitting perfectly before. But we often get a... it's kind of strange, almost violent. But it has something to do with the spine. We try and fix the spine. So this seems quite core to our understanding of posture, and really the spine is the intellect, the backbone. And the physical spine, which we're going to use as a metaphor, simply as a metaphor, because I am by no means an expert on the physical spine, and I will not pretend to be, but we're going to try and use that as a metaphor to structure the ideas that Baba has given us about correcting our the posture of the soul. And the physical spine is in general divided into four parts. So the first section, which is called the base of the spine, is the sacral part of the spine. It's called the base, or sometimes the tailbone, or the seat. It's the foundation. And so this word sacral is very close to the English word sacred. And that's the first thing Baba does, is creates a sense of a very sacred foundation. I even noticed in the meeting on November 30th, this Avyakt meeting, I felt Baba going through these phases. And he does this every time. He has usually Brother Surya give a class before Baba comes. And that class most often is about... Okay.
Can you put your mic up?
Okay.
This is the base of the spine.
Thank you. The first thing that Baba does... Is that okay? Or would you prefer the mic? It's okay. So, the first thing he does is get us onto a seat of self-respect. This is usually the focus of Surya's class. Very elevated sense of self, because to meet God properly, you have to be equal. Oh, not
working properly.
Let's do the mic.
Yeah, with the mic. But I think you not have to get up.
Okay.
Do you need to get up now?
No,
okay,
no, I'm good.
Mic goes.
Yeah. Unless I'm suddenly pulled to jump. So the idea of creating a very sacred experience of the self, this is really the first thing Baba does. You know, the words are, you are a soul. That is what we are. But the experience of that is what he wants us to attain. And such a special experience. I am subtle, I am spiritual, I am special. Very sacred experience of the self. There is a huge journey. Some have described it as the journey from the head to the heart. It's a long one. But there is a journey that this path of knowledge demands. And I always have to be very clear with myself where I am in that journey. On the path of devotion, we said many things. We chanted and prayed and
did a lot of things with the mind, lots of mantras. In this study, Baba puts a lot of focus as well on the intellect. It's not enough just to say it in the mind. It has to be experienced and accepted by the intellect. And I always have to be honest with myself that that is happening. There could be the illusion it's happening because I've held the thought in my mind. But he wants it to be experienced. And when I watch those brothers sit in yoga, their posture, I can feel the posture of the soul. That's the sign that it's actually changed their intellect, the alignment of their intellect. It's gone into the intellect. So I am a soul. Am I experiencing how sacred that is? That's the foundation. And I found it interesting that even in his final birth, the Krishna soul, the Narayan soul, still was, you know, his way of life as a jewel merchant was still about appreciating value. That was his way of life. Because that's a very central part. That's a sign that I am on the seat, that sacred seat, which Baba calls the immortal throne of the forehead. It's even such an elevated title for that seat. The sign is that we say detached observer, but that my vision on everyone and every situation is of such appreciation. That's the sign. Not that I think my way. We're so used to doing things with the mind, making things happen. But he says, no, if the soul really is on that seat, it will naturally feel this way without having to think or analyze or intellectually get into that feeling. It will be natural. Everything will be a wonder. Appreciate everything. The sign I am soul conscious. I am in that sacred seat, the immortal throne. So this is the first, if you will, alignment adjustment. The Supreme Soul, who in this case is the Supreme Chiropractor. This is the first adjustment he makes, is on the base of the spiritual spine, the sacred part of the spine. Do I have that experience of myself? I will not compare with another being. I will only appreciate value. So can we take a moment and get ourselves in the experience of that seat? Is that okay? So again, you can check, am I sitting in a position really engaged? You know, there's different postures Baba has said he's seen. Some of them are sort of which is, I'm having a nice experience, but am I having a powerful experience? Sometimes he sees. And of course, sometimes he sees. So the deities look straight ahead, neither up nor down, fully engaged in the experiencing the truth. I take my attention inwards. Experiencing that I am alone in this room, in this space. because we had lost ourselves. The meeting with God is, of course, invaluable. But a meeting with the self is no less. In fact, until I meet myself, seated throne of the forehead. Looking out through the eyes. A very royal form of peace. Emerges from within. My true nature. Deep sense of dignity. Feeling of returning to myself. From dangling upside down, being put right. I've heard some souls share that sometimes, in a physical sense, they will get a chiropractic treatment, an adjustment. The spine is put right, and then maybe a few hours or a few days or a few weeks later, it's off again. My feeling about Brahmins is they are so special. You have the capacity to experience things that no other souls can so deeply. But how much attention and care it requires to touch those experiences, sustain them, and protect them. Even now I find, you know, I have to give it such attention. So this is, you know, Baba says, make effort. Take care of yourself. He adjusts us. He says, you are a soul. He transfers the experience as he says it. And then he says, let's see how long it is before you have to come back to the chiropractor. Can you maintain that state for yourself? Maintain that alignment. Keep a sacred sense of self. And it's really fed when I have that feeling towards others, that others also are very special, very sacred. So if that foundation, that tail, and Baba will even say, think of this body as a tail dangling from the soul, so that's part of that sacred experience. And then we move to the next adjustment, the lumbar part of the spine. It's a big part of the spine. It's going to require a lot of attention. And this word lumbar, I think of limber and light. Becoming more and more limber and light. When the soul is rigid, the intellect will catch on the smallest thing. It goes into confusion, it goes into expansion, it goes into emotion, because it's so rigid. But if the soul is limber and light, it can let go and just get lighter and lighter, more pure. If soul consciousness is detached observer, becoming light is just detached. We want to keep becoming more and more detached, moving up the spiritual spine. So Baba has said, true knowledge, study, develop deep faith in the intellect based on knowledge. Faith in the self, faith in Baba, faith in others, faith in Dhamma. Then you don't have to go into any expansion. Just keep letting go, becoming light. He doesn't just want faith, he actually wants intoxication. So this is a healthy lumbar part of the spiritual spine, is faith based on completely accepting his versions, and intoxication. Then the soul can stay so pure, so light. And I call this the creation of, or accumulation of, silence. So again, on November 30th, after Surya's class, creating that sacred foundation, we had a revised Muni, which was all about silence, accumulating the power of silence. So it felt like he was doing his next adjustment, the lumbar part of the spine. Silence means there's no waste. The soul is becoming increasingly, you know, engaged in that purity. Purity feeds us. Silence feeds us. Baba's versions, he's often said, I can teach you purity. And merely you'll say, I can teach you purity. I remember when I first heard him say that, I thought, that's incredible. I'd never heard anyone else say that, to teach purity. Because, you know, in the world, and they think of it very physically, that a child is innocent, and then they go through a loss of innocence, and that's it. Oh, well. You can never go back to innocence. And Baba says, no, I can teach you innocence. I find that an incredible gift. And when there is purity, innocence, there is this silence, no waste. Just this experience of the truth, reality. So, do I have the capacity to take in and digest Baba's knowledge? Again, I listen to it. He asks us to, you know, the cows chew on it. Does my intellect accept it? He's always saying there'll be a sign whether or not your intellect is it. Because we like to, you know, give points of gyan to each other, and that's very nice, but ultimately, let's see it in action. He said, do you remain cheerful? Are you tolerant? Are you easy? Are you light? Is there no waste? Can you apply a full stop? Not a rolling stop, but a full stop. So keeping that lumbar part of the spine, that capacity to go into silence, to not think, analyze, figure out, to just go beyond. The bottom line is, we are actors in a play. There's really not a lot to think about. It's a play. It's ending. It's time to go home. My home is silence. Baba is so simple, you know, to really take the experience that he himself gives. Not thinking a lot, just experience the truth. And then there needs to be such little thought. Sometimes we want to try and process things. And every soul, of course, will do what they need to do. But always trying to check, is this how Baba would like me to do it? So let's stay in reflection and explore that second adjustment, which is this gift of silence. So again, seated on that sacred seat. The throne of the forehead. Very aware that I am simply an actor in a play. I now know the story of this play. I have unlimited wisdom from God. An unlimited perspective. Nothing here even this body is temporary. I am a soul. I am silence. I come out of silence into sound. The part I play is a wonder. And when the part is done, I let it go. I return home. Silent. Eternally, I am in that silence. A silence that is charged with all that feeds me. Peace. Purity. Lightness. Power. Silence is a carrier of all that feeds the soul. By letting go, I become full. I, the soul, love silence. Love letting go. Baba gives me knowledge of the unlimited. So I can let go. Be free. Just be light. In silence. Brings me close to the Supreme Soul. Silence is the language. Of the Supreme Soul. The means by which I can have communion with the Supreme Father. Such a deep love of silence. So what happened next on November 30th after we listened to the revised Muni on the power of silence? What happened? Angelic form, right? We got message. And more than message, we got experience from Avyakt Bhavdada. And what was that experience? What did it focus on? Met us personally. Embraced us, merged us, yeah, in that hug. It's a lot about the heart. Listening to the voice of each one's heart. Very personal. Very intimate. The next part of the spine is called thoracic. And this is where the heart and the lungs are housed. And that's why it's of such interest. Anytime you mention heart, we all get very excited. And Baba really gave the experience of understanding each one's heart. Really hearing each one's heart. He spends so much time opening the heart. The number one thing we find with physical posture is it becomes like this. As aging happens, as slouching happens, it is crushing the thoracic spine. Starts to bow. And that really makes it very difficult for even the physical organs to work fully and properly. So Baba comes and he gets us to open up, you know, sit very royally and opens up the breath and the heart. There is the saying, God chooses you because of your heart. You know, this idea that God has selected each one of you. Brahmins have a heart condition. They have very specific hearts, very special hearts. Locked within them are extremely noble memories. Very elevated memories. So much so that no bodily being can really speak to it. Only God can really understand the heart of a Brahmin. And he really gave that experience, I personally felt, on November 30th. And this is such a central part of the experience, you know, yoga of the intellect. The soul is so hungry to be understood. And Baba, we did not even understand ourselves. We go deeply into emotions. That's not actually about the heart. That's more about the vices and reactivity. It's about sorrow a lot of times. But the heart, extremely elevated capacities within the Brahman soul, which he can activate, breathe life into. And so he has to, you know, get the heart online and fill the soul, emerge those memories. It's a very noble experience, very noble form of love. Not romantic, not emotional, very royal. It's love from God, based on such deep recognition of the soul, how elevated the soul is. And so this is the third adjustment he does. He corrects the spiritual thoracic part of our spine by understanding our heart, how elevated we can be, how elevated we were, and our deep longing to return to that elevated state. Even though there is this burden of sin we come to him with, which is part of why we're so crushed, the spine has become so compressed. He says, let go, let me give you understanding, correct that lumbar part of the spine, become light, and then the heart will be free to open. Those memories can unlock, the soul becomes worthy. So let's take a moment to experience this very unique form of love, of the heart being touched. It's called, you know, sitting on the heart throne. There's the immortal throne of the forehead, there's the throne of the home, silence, and then there's the heart throne. Having such an experience of my worth. So in that very sacred space, experience of myself, Raj Kumar, royal soul, royal prince. I let go of any ordinary experience of myself. I am not limited by this costume. I am not defined by this costume. I am a son of God, the King of Kings. And the seat of his heart awaits me. I fly into that silence. Of being completely beyond. Father's home. In silence, I feel so close to Baba. There is no one as close to him as me. All his attention is on me, his son. It is not just that he can hear the voice of my heart. The deep longing to return to my original, pure, elevated state. I can also hear the feelings in his heart. His deep belief in me. Yes, child. You are the one. You are victorious. You are the light of my eyes. Deeply cherished. Mama recognizes me.
Service, and the rest of the spine is in very bad shape.
He says, just get this all aligned and you will be serviceable. Automatic, natural, it will radiate from you. Be loved by God and you will be a force for good in the world. So that's going to be our final exercise. To go through each of those adjustments and see what happens. So very simply, again, create that sacred feeling about the self. I am a soul. Seated on the throne of the forehead. Appreciating all I see. From this royal place. My true nature is to stay light. I have the capacity to go beyond, to experience the unlimited. No waste, no worries, no heaviness. Silent, light, free. Again, maintaining as you meet that feeling inside. You are loved by God. You are a special soul in a family of souls. You have great capacities within. And continue to move and meet one another through the eyes. It doesn't conclude your treatment with the eternal chiropractor. Baba has such a beautiful way. We're very, very fortunate. We have such a sweet, subtle way of being put right, so nonviolent, so pleasant. So enjoy. You are the ones. You are very elevated souls. He has such hopes in each one of us, and you each have a very special, unique part to play, which no one else can do. So we have a duty to be put right so that he can use each of us for the unique part we have. So thank you for sharing this time. I really enjoyed, and Om Shanti.
No, I don't know. You have to ask brother. I don't.